Daniel chapter number 5. Look at verse number 1. Belshazzar, the king, made a great feast to 1,000 of his lords and drank wine before 1,000. Belshazzar, whilst he tasted the wine, commanded to bring the gold and silver vessels which his father Nebuchadnezzar had taken out of the temple, which was in Jerusalem, that the king and his princes and his wives and his concubines might drink therein. Then they brought the golden vessels that were taken out of the temple of the house of God, which was at Jerusalem, and the king and his princes and his wives and his concubines drank in them. They drank wine and praised the gods of gold and of silver, of brass, of iron, of wood, and of stone. In the same hour came forth fingers of a man's hand and wrote over against the candlestick upon the plaster of the wall of the king's palace, and the king saw the part of the hand that wrote. And the king's countenance was changed, and his thoughts troubled him, so that the joints of his loins were loosed, and his knees smote one against another. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this opportunity. Thank you for pastor entrusting me. I don't take that lightly, to fill in for him while he's gone. And Father, I pray that something would be said this morning, tonight, I mean, that would just help somebody. Father, we're trying to produce something here that is for you. It's something that is special for you. Father, I pray that this kind of maybe a unique message tonight, as we kind of tell a story and apply some truths with it. I pray that you would just be honored and help me to be just a vessel. Help me to be empty of myself. Help me to be something that can be filled with your power tonight. Lord, I ask this in your son's name. Amen. All right, maybe see you. We have this this amazing story from Daniel chapter number five. I love this story. I love the book of Daniel anyway, but I think this story is pretty amazing. Okay, so you have, if you will, you know, bear with me. You say, Brother Chad, that you're using an inanimate object to tell a story. Okay. You know, if you got a problem with me telling a story about an inanimate object, you can take that up with Jesus. Because Jesus told stories about inanimate objects, okay? So that's my theory on that. All right, so Belshazzar, he's the grandson of Nebuchadnezzar. Now, technically, if you really go back to the lineage, Belshazzar, the Bible says he's the grandson of Nebuchadnezzar, but there were a couple kings between Nebuchadnezzar and Belshazzar. Belshazzar's father actually is a man by the name of, I believe you pronounce it, Nabatus, okay? And that is actually who Belshazzar's father was, but that is not necessarily the son of Nebuchadnezzar. Now, if you understand the political times, a lot of things could happen, adoptions, et cetera, to increase the power of a certain king. They bring the family units together, and it would increase the power of the king. But anyway, Belshazzar, Bible says he was the grandson, basically the grandson of Nebuchadnezzar. So Belshazzar decides that he wants to throw this big party, okay? And he invites, the Bible says, 1,000 of his lords, everybody he could think of. I was reading it was not necessarily uncommon for the Persians or for this era, these people in this time of life, to have feasts where 5,000-10,000 people would come to a feast. Okay, that was not uncommon. So Belshazzar threw a party. But, you know, young people and middle age and older and everybody here, Belshazzar threw this party, and this party was not, you know, the godly, you know, teen activity type party. Okay, this was not that. This party involved immorality, involved drunkenness, involved idol worship, it involved basically anything that you can have that would appease the flesh, that was at this party. It was an appeasement of the flesh party. All right? Now, what we would call that today is prom. Okay? That's today's reference to that. You say, Brother Chad, are you against that? Yes, absolutely. I know this kills me, but why in the world? We just got off prom weekend, if you didn't know that. So I'm still burn up about it, all right? But why in the world would a father send his daughter to be, you know, basically undressed by the eyes of every young man there? Why would you do that? Why would you send your child to a place where the temptation is at critical danger levels? Why would you do that? Why would you send them someplace? Because that's what prom, I'm sorry, but that's what prom is an appeasement of the flesh party. Okay? If you don't like it, show me something different. Okay? But that's the way I see it. All right? Now, I saw several kids dressed up for prom Saturday evening, and none of them, you know, were what I would consider, oh, yeah, that looks like a godly young person. I didn't see it. Okay? But anyway, that was my prom thing for the year. So Belshazzar threw this party. Now, an interesting thing happened. So I want you to imagine Belshazzar is in this party and they're drinking. Alcohol is abundant, which is at what most world's parties are. Alcohol is abundant. And the Bible says that Belshazzar is drinking in front of all. So a lot of times what they would have is they would have a platform set up and they would have all the party guests out in the audience or whatever, but there would be an elevated platform and the king and his wives and some of his more distinguished princes, they'd be sitting up there. And I want you to imagine, they're all up there and they're all drinking this wine. They're all getting very intoxicated, okay? Now, you say, Brother Chad, what's wrong with all this? You don't understand the circumstances that is going on outside the city of Babylon at this very moment. Outside of the city of Babylon, you know Belshazzar's father, I just mentioned Nabonidus, or however you pronounce his name, he has already been taken captive by the Medes and the Persians. His father is a captive of the Medes and the Persians at this moment. Okay? The Medes and the Persians right now have two primary groups stationed outside of the walls of Babylon. But nobody's worried. Babylon has within its realm, the river Euphrates runs straight through it. They have unlimited water supply. They have food stores to last for years. Not for days, not for months. They have enough food to last them for years. So in an act of pride and in an act of, if you would, snubbing his nose at God who said that they would be judged, Belshazzar throws this party. But not only is there a party going on inside the castle walls or inside the palace walls, there is a party, there is basically rioting, if you would, going on with outside the walls. Drunkenness, immorality, all of that is going outside the palace walls. So while there's a party inside, there's also a party outside. This even reaches to the guards that are supposed to be watching over the city. Belshazzar standing on top of this platform, and Belshazzar, he gets intoxicated, and I don't know what caused him to think about this, but Belshazzar, he calls out to his servants, he says, hey, Joe, go bring me the vessels that my father Nebuchadnezzar brought out of Jerusalem. So they go and they bring all these vessels, and they bring the gold and the silver vessels, and they start filling these vessels with alcohol, and Belshazzar is standing up on this platform and he's drinking out of these vessels. The liquor, the devil's brew, he's drinking out of these vessels. As they're doing this, they start praising the gods of gold and of silver and of stone and of brass. And they start extolling their virtues of the idols that can do nothing for us. And they start praising them. All of a sudden, a man's hand. Now, this is really neat. A man's hand suddenly appears. Now, I've never been intoxicated, okay? Never had. Never touched alcohol. And praise the Lord for that. But I can only imagine. I can watch Belshazzar up on this platform, and he is toasted. He is drunk way too many. I mean, talk about hangover. And he's blinking his eyes because he sees this hand writing on the wall. He's rubbing his eyes, and he thinks he is totally taking a trip, okay? And he's up there, and he's like, because I don't know what, you know, they're drinking alcohol, but listen, opiates and stuff were not necessarily not in existence at this time. They could be completely drugged out and all kinds of stuff. And they're listening to music that opens the door for demonic activity. I guarantee it, and I can prove it later. They're listening to music. They're watching, you know, women dance in front of them in ungodly ways. And so he's trying to focus on this hand that all of a sudden appears and starts writing on the wall. And he's rubbing his eyes, and he's looking, and he's rubbing his eyes, and he cannot believe what he's seeing. And it says, it writes on the wall, it says, mean, Tikal, a person. Okay? And he's looking at the wall and he's like, what in the world is that? And he's like, you know, I'm sure he's turning to all of his buddies for at the start, you know, Brother Chad, that's not in the Bible. Okay, is this what you would do? All right, this is what I would do. So he's turning to all of his friends and he's saying, what is that on the wall? And they're all wiping their eyes. I mean, talk about a sobering moment in the life of a big party. Okay, in today's society, now listen, in today's society, you wouldn't think much about it. Technology would, you could say, oh, they're just projecting something up on the wall. They didn't have this technology back then. This is better than any, this is totally three-dimensional on this wall, without the glasses. Three-dimensional, a handwriting on the wall. And he's looking at this thing, what in the world? And it's interesting, the Bible says, then the king's countenance was changed and his thoughts troubled him, so that the joints of his loins were loosed and his knees smote one against another. What does that mean, Brother Chad? He was really scared. I've only been this scared one time in my life. Now, I've climbed some trees, and I don't know what it is when I climb trees. I don't know if it's the exertion, but when I've climbed trees and trimmed trees and stuff, and I'll climb a tree, and I've climbed a tree enough, and I'll get on a branch, and my leg will start shaking. And it, like, or I'll be hanging a tree stand or something. I'll get, like, you know, 25 feet in the air, and I'm hanging onto the tree with one arm, trying to strap a tree stand on, and my leg will start shaking, and I can't control it. And it's like, the only other time this happened, I was on a roller coaster when I was like 5, okay? I was so scared, I literally, my dad had to hold me up when I got off the roller coaster. And you know what? I've not been on one since. I have not. I mean, I'm all for man-made contraptions, but that is scary, okay? And I haven't. Now, I'll probably have to take the teens to a roller coaster just so they can see how scared I'll be, but literally, his knees, you know, you talk about so scared your knees knock. This is how scared Belshazzar is. His knees are literally, the Bible says they smote each other. He's so scared his knees are knocking together. So he's standing there and he's drinking this cup. Meanwhile, outside this palace, and outside the walls of this impenetrable city called Babylon, okay? Cyrus, king of Persia and king over the Medes and the Persians, he has taken a group of men that really can't fight, a group of men that aren't really that, you know, they're kind of the servants, the, you know, the water boys, that type of thing, and he takes them up river to the river Euphrates, and he begins to dig a canal. His men work, and they work, and they work, and they're digging a canal. This canal is diverting the water of the river Euphrates from the city of Babylon. So as Belshazzar, he's probably finishing up he's in the middle of his party, wherever he's at, he's drinking this wine. The hand appears on the wall, and as the hand appears on the wall, he has no clue what it means. He calls all of his magicians, all of his Chaldeans, all of his astrologers. Nobody has any idea what this words on the wall mean. Okay? So he calls all these guys. But unbeknownst to him, outside the wall, you know, do the guards know what's going on inside the palace? No. They're just having a party out there. Oh, the king's having a party, so why don't we have a party? Nobody can touch us. We're untouchable at this point. So outside, it's a big festival. There's music, rock music, if you would, and I can prove that later, okay? Rock music, the devil's music is here. So they're outside and they're having this big party, and the water level of the Euphrates is slowly falling because there is no water feeding the river Euphrates anymore because it has all been diverted by King Cyrus upstream. Very shortly, the water is mid-thigh. Water that originally would be over their head is now mid-thigh. When the soldiers on the two extremes know that the water is at mid-thigh, that is their battle cry, that is their signal to enter the city. If the soldiers within Babylon would have known that there was a group of men coming through that narrow, relatively narrow channel into the city of Babylon, it would have been murder for all of those Medes and Persians. They would have stacked them like cordwood. There was no place to escape. They could have slaughtered them. But the sound of war was mistaken for the sound of music. And as the general's men, they enter the city and they start striking at the outward parts of the city and killing all of the guards. The cries of the guards, one historical record records that the cries of the guards that were dying were drowned out by the cries of the men that were killing them, and other people could not tell the difference between that and the music that was playing. And you want to tell me that the world's music is what God wants us to listen to? Doesn't that remind you of Joshua and Moses on top of the mountain? And Joshua come down and says, Moses, we got to go. There's a sound of war in the camp. Moses said, that's not the sound of war. That's not the sound of war. As Belshazzar is looking at the wall, and his, I believe it's probably his mother. The Bible says the queen, but it's probably his mother. His mother comes in and she says, son, get a grip. Basically, get a grip. You're the king. You need to find out what this means. She says, go find Daniel. So they send for Daniel, and Daniel comes in and he gives Belshazzar the interpretation. God hath numbered thy kingdom and finished it. Mean. God hath numbered thy kingdom and finished it. Mean. Tikal, thou art weighed in the balance and found wanting. Upherson, and thy kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and the Persians. As Daniel comes in and says this, I can only imagine he's holding that vessel still. He's holding that cup still in his hand, and as he's holding that cup, and he obviously hasn't taken a drink because he's scared. The sounds of the outside start to slowly make their way in. He sends some guards to the doors to check what's going on, and as soon as the door is open, they are overwhelmed by the Medes and the Persians who have already taken the city. As the Medes and the Persians rush in, these are Iranian. The Iranians are descendants from these people. So picture in your mind, okay, seriously, like ISIS-type warriors. Not really much mercy here. Now, we will see that the Medes and Persians did have some mercy, okay? They respected a lot of other beliefs. But not these were soldiers. These were men sent to kill. And they rush in, and Belshazzar's holding this cup, and he sees the men come, and he's scared. What would you do? Hold on to your cup? No. I believe he drops his cup, and all that wine, that cup is bouncing across the ground. That wine is spilled everywhere, and very soon, that cup that's laying on the ground is soon drenched in the blood of the man who just drank from it. That is the picture we have from Daniel chapter 5. The man who just drank out of that cup, his blood now covers that cup. The vessels that Belshazzar used that night, I wonder if they could talk. What would the vessel of Belshazzar say? If the cup of Belshazzar could talk, what would it say? Well, first of all, we must ask the question, where did they come from? Where did this vessel come from? What was this vessel created for? What was its intended use? Let me just say, they were never created to be part of the world's party. These vessels were never created to be part of the sinful, lust-filled evening. These vessels were never created to be filled with the devil's brew. That's not what these vessels were created for. Let's go to 1 Kings, if you would. 1 Kings chapter number 7. 1 Kings chapter number 7. I'm not going to read all of it, and you can if you would like to later. 1 Kings chapter number 7, verse number 40. The Bible says, and Hiram, you ought to do a study on the man Hiram sometime. Young men, you ought to do a study on the man Hiram sometime. Be a challenge to you. And Hiram made the lavers and the shovels and the basins. So Hiram made an end of doing all the work that he made King Solomon for the house of the Lord. Look at verse 45. And the pots and the shovels and the basins and all these vessels which Hiram made to King Solomon for the house of the Lord were of bright brass. In the plain of Jordan did the king cast them in the clay ground between Succoth and Zarethan. And Solomon left all the vessels unweighed because they were exceeding many, exceeding many, exceeding many. Note that emphasis for later. Just throwing that out there. Exceeding many. All right. Neither was the weight of the brass found out. And Solomon made all the vessels that pertained unto the house of the Lord, the altar of gold and the table of gold whereupon the showbread was. I can't read all this. We do not have time tonight. You ought to read through all the things that Hiram made for King Solomon. And what were they made for? The temple of God. More specifically, the service of God. These vessels that Belshazzar had that night when he died and when his blood was spilt on the ground, it was not made for Belshazzar to desecrate. It was not made for the world's party. That vessel was made for the use of God's work. Okay? That's what that vessel was made for. It wasn't made for to go out and party in the world and have a good time. That vessel was made for the Lord's work. You know what? There's an interesting thing about the vessels here. Some of them were cups. Some of them were what you would call basins. Hey, guys, there were vessels there that were meant to be dirty. And you know, in the Lord's work, there are opportunities to serve God in every different area. There were vessels here that were made to drink out of. There were vessels here made to serve things out of. There were vessels here made to wash your hands in. There were vessels here made to put fires out. There were vessels here made to scoop ashes with. But you know one thing they all had in common is they were all made for God's work. God's work. These vessels were designed, developed, and dedicated for the work of the Lord. Second Chronicles, we could go to Second or First Chronicles. And in chapter 6 and chapter 7, Solomon dedicates, and we'll get to that in just a moment. These vessels were made by a craftsman named Hiram. Hiram was the son of a widow. Don't tell me that you can't be used by God just because of your family circumstances. Anyway, that's a side note. Some vessels were dedicated to the Lord's work by David. Now listen to this. This is good. Or I thought it was good. Vessels taken. Go to 2 Samuel chapter 8. 2 Samuel chapter 8. Where did all these vessels come from, Brother Chad? Well, some of these vessels were specifically made for the Lord's work. 2 Samuel chapter 8. Look at verse number 7. 2 Samuel chapter 8, verse number 7. Bible says, and David took the shields of gold that were on the servants of Hadad-Ezer, that is a general in the Syrian army. David just defeated him. Hadad-Ezer, and brought them to Jerusalem. And from Beta and from Berathai, cities of Hadad-Ezer, King David took exceeding much brass. When Toi, king of Hamath, heard that David had smitten all the hosts of Hadad-Ezer, then Toi sent Joram, his son, unto King David to salute him and to bless him, because he had fought against Hadad-Ezer and smitten him. For Hadad-Ezer had wars with Toi, and Joram brought with him vessels of silver, vessels of gold, vessels of brass, which also King of David did dedicate unto the Lord with the silver and gold that he had dedicated which he had dedicated of all nations which he subdued. Where else, Brother Chad, where did these vessels come from? Okay, there were some of these vessels that were made specifically for the Lord's work. Then there was a group of vessels over here that were taken from the world, and then dedicated to the Lord's work. Now listen, young people, not everybody in here grew up in church. There's some folks in here that they've been taken from what the world used them as, and they've been rededicated to the Lord. That's where these vessels came from. These vessels were created for the Lord's work. They were designed to do God's will. They were not created, they were not fashioned to be used by the world. Like I said, some were working vessels, some were holy vessels, some were for getting dirty, some were for staying clean, but all of these were for God. Go to 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles. Chapter number 7. All of these vessels were dedicated by Solomon for the Lord's work. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse number 1. Now when Solomon had made an end of praying, the fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the house. And the priests could not enter into the house of the Lord because the glory of the Lord had filled the Lord's house. And when all the children of Israel saw how the fire came down and the glory of the Lord upon the house, they bowed themselves with their faces to the ground upon the pavement and worshipped and praised the Lord, saying, "For he is good, and for his mercy endureth forever." Look at verse number 12. And the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said unto him, "I have heard thy prayer and have chosen this place to myself for a house of sacrifice." You know what God said basically right there? Okay, I've heard the prayer of dedication that you've given me, and I've accepted it, and I'm taking all of these things, the vessels included, and I'm going to use them for my work. I'm going to use them for my work. So we see where the vessels came from. Young people, let me just say this, and I'm going to apply it maybe a little bit later. I've said this several times in the last 3 or 4 weeks. Blessed Hope Baptist Church is not trying to make an ordinary person. We're trying to produce an extraordinary person. We're not just out to make you a good citizen. We want to make you a servant of God. Now, I'm not ashamed of that. I think the best citizen is a good Christian. That's what the best citizen is. But you've been given opportunities growing up that have dedicated you to God's work. You don't just happen to Blessed Hope Baptist Church by chance. You don't just happen to have the parents that you have. You don't just happen to have the pastor that you have. You have been created. You have been designed. You have been given opportunities to serve God in a capacity that none of the rest of the world can. But sin took the vessels from the Lord's work. Sin took the vessels from the Lord's work. They were in the Lord's work. They were dedicated to the Lord. But sin took the vessels from the Lord's work to the devil's trophy room. Go to Daniel chapter 1. So, Brother Chad, how did Belshazzar even end up with the vessels that were dedicated to God? Well, the Israelites sinned. And because the Israelites sinned, God sent his servant, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon. Daniel chapter 1, verse 1. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, unto Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand with part of the vessels of the house of God. But look at the next part. Which he carried into the land of Shinar to the house of his God. And he brought the vessels into the treasure house of his God. Sin took the vessels from the house of the Lord and placed them as a trophy in the world. Young people, listen to me. I'm going to be very frank with you tonight. The devil and the world looks at you. Look at me. The devil and the world looks at you as a trophy. Yes, sir. You're in the world of hunting, you would be the dangerous game. The ones that are, you know, the ones that are rare. The ones that you have to pay safari fees to go hunt. In that realm, the world, they want you, whether you understand it. Hey, listen to me. It's no big deal for a charming young man in the world. It's no big deal for him to go to the prom and pick up any girl. That's not hard.
It's not hard for a young man to go pick up. And you know what? The sad thing is a lot of girls fall for that. But they want you because they can't. You have something that they can't get. And if you'll never let them have it, you've got something very, very valuable. Young men, the same thing. These girls, they think that, oh, well, he's just a Christian boy. He'll be easy. They want you. They can go pick up by flaunting, listen, by flaunting their physical appearance, they can go pick up any young man. Go to Proverbs chapter 7. Look at Proverbs chapter 7. As an ox goeth to the slaughter. You know, I've taken oxen to the slaughter. And whenever I load them in a trailer, they don't think that they're going to the slaughterhouse. They think I'm taking them to the pasture. A girl that wants to flaunt herself can pick up anybody except a young man that decides to do what's right. And because you're hard to get, they want you more. Hey, I've heard songs. There's songs that flaunt the idea of trying to get Christian young people. Country songs about trying to get the preacher's daughter. Why? Because are we better than anybody? No. We live at a higher standard. Why? Because we're supposed to be vessels that have been dedicated to the service of the Lord. There's countless others that are making it glamorous to take the innocence of our young people. The devil isn't happy just with taking you from what you were created to be. Hey, you know, the devil could have, you know, they could have stopped at taking those vessels and putting them in the treasure house. But the devil's not happy with just leaving you there. The devil wants to humiliate and humble you. The world wants to use you, it'll abuse you, and it'll lose you. It'll use you, it'll abuse you, and it'll lose you. Back to the scene. Belshazzar's now laying on the ground, bleeding profusely. His last breath is being taken from his body. And that cup that was once supposed to be a vessel that was dedicated to the Lord's use, but then was filled because of sin. It was taken from where it was supposed to be. Then it was filled with something it never should have had in it. Now it was dropped on the floor, and it's being kicked around on this floor, a floor that I'm sure is slimy with blood, with alcohol, and body fluids from dead carcasses. It's being kicked around on the floor. A Median soldier picks it up and looks at it. Once a beautiful golden vessel, now it's covered in human blood and wine. He looks at it and maybe sticks it in his bag. A treasure of war. You know, if you go to Ezra chapter number 1, I know we're using our Bibles, but it's good for you. We could use it a lot more if you really wanted to go to every place that this story is talked about. Ezra chapter number 1, verse number 6. No, look at verse number 7. I'm sorry. Look at verse number 7. So, yeah, that cup. What happened to it? What happened to it? Also, Cyrus, verse number 7. Ezra 1, verse number 7. Also, Cyrus the king brought forth the vessels of the house of the Lord, which Nebuchadnezzar had brought forth out of Jerusalem, and had put them in the house of his gods. Even those did Cyrus, king of Persia, bring forth by the hand of Mithridath, the treasurer, and numbered them unto Sheshbazzar, the prince of Judah. I'm going to read these next three verses because I want you to think about something. And this is the number of them. He counted them. He counted them, 30 charges of gold, 1,000 charges of silver, 9 and 20 knives, 29 knives. I've got that many in my drawer at home, 29 knives, 30 basins of gold, silver basins of a second sort, 410, and other vessels, 1,000. All the vessels of gold and of silver were 5,400. All these did Sheshbazzar bring up with them of the captivity that were brought up from Babylon unto Jerusalem. Now, do you remember that statement I told you to remember about when we were reading earlier? Exceeding without number. So how in the world did you go from, they couldn't even count them, there were so many, to being able to have a list that is put into three verses? Because I'm here to tell you tonight that vessels that are dedicated to God and then taken for the world's use, some of them, listen to me, never return. Could those vessels that return still be used? Yes. They could still be used. But I would dare say that some of them had nicks. Some of them had damage. Some of them, all of them, had to have a good cleaning. But some of them never came back. What happened to them? Some were returned. A list was given that were returned, but not all of them. Some were lost somewhere out in the world, and they were never able to accomplish what they were designed to do. That shovel, those golden shovels that Solomon made, instead of taking ashes out of a sacrifice that was offered to God, they were scooping muck out of a horse stall. Somebody thought, oh, I got a cool golden shovel, I'm going to clean my horse stall. Listen, God designed you for something special. And when you leave, when you take that design that God has given you, you will never, oh, but that cup was being used by Belshazzar. Yeah, temporarily. Then it was kicked across the floor. 2 Timothy chapter 2. We're almost done. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Richard, what are you doing tonight? I'm back at home plate tonight. I'm back at home plate. I'm not a good baseball player. But I'm back at home plate, and the pitcher's getting ready to pitch, and I'm going to try to hit another one for you. Maybe one thing that's said tonight will, okay. Maybe I am special. You are special. You are special. Don't waste your life on some junk out there. God's got something special for you. Young people, hey, kindergartners, God's got something special for you. You weren't created to go out there and work for the world. You're created, you don't just go to this church by happenstance. You go here because there's something special about you. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. Hey, God knows which ones were his. It doesn't mean that you lose your salvation. Listen, that vessel, it was still God's vessel. But it was lost someplace out in the world. God knows who's his. The Lord knoweth them that are his. And let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Young people, you are in this, you are put in your family, you are put in this church for a reason. You've been given too much to be used by the world for its devices. We're instructed, young people, if you're instructed to be a vessel that's been dedicated and sanctified. You know what sanctified? I taught this in the adult. In fact, some of you probably recognize some of this from adult Sunday school. But you know what sanctified means? It means cleaned and set aside for a specific use. Not just cleaned and not set aside for a specific use. Cleaned and set aside for a specific use. That's what you've been. You've been sanctified. Meet for the master's use. I want to be a clean vessel. I'm not a lot of things in life. And I fail at a lot of things. But if I can just be clean, that God can pick up at any minute and say, I got something for you right now. I need you. He doesn't have to go say, I'm going to use you, but I got to go clean you first. That's not sanctified. That's just a vessel. We're instructed to cleanse ourselves from these. What are these? If you look in before, vain and profane babblings.
iniquity, youthful lust. Why did it say youthful lust? Why did it say youthful lust? Because it's talking about things that you guys fight. Hey, folks, listen. Maybe this is more of a teen or young person oriented, but this applies to everybody. This applies to me right here. If I'm not a clean vessel, and if I go out there and I, listen, I use my work for the world to fund my work for God. I use my work. Everybody said, Brother Chad, how'd you learn how to do this trim? Well, part of it was I just did it. Part of it is because I have guys in the world that pay me to learn how to do trim. And so then I can come to the church and do trim. I have the world pay for me to learn how to do things for God. Might as well. I practice my trade in some other places so that I can come here and do it for God, for God. We're instructed to do these things. Righteousness. If you look at verse number 22, flee also youthful lust, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call. How do I be a clean vessel, Brother Chad? How can I be a vessel that the devil won't take to his trophy room? Flee also youthful lust. Follow after righteousness. If it's right, do it.
Duh.
Follow after faith. Brother Chad, I don't understand the Christian life. Why do you always harping about this and this and this? Some of it I can't explain to you. You just got to trust me. I can't explain to my kids why they have to do certain things. They just have to trust Daddy. God shouldn't have to explain everything to you. God shouldn't have to explain everything to me. Charity. Follow after charity. Do you love people properly? We talked about that this morning. Is God the center of your relationship? Hey, if God... Anyway. God's not the center of your relationship. You're going to have problems. Peace. Do you enjoy drama? Some people are just like drama people. True peace. Man, I have peace. I'm happy where God's put me. Do you have turmoil? Is your life in turmoil? Man said this, sin will take you farther than you want to go. Sin will keep you longer than you want to stay. And sin will cost you more than you want to pay. I don't know what happened to that vessel that saw sensuality that night. I don't know what happened to that vessel that saw sexual perversion that night. I don't know what happened to that vessel that saw alcohol within its own vessel, saw alcohol. I don't know what happened to that vessel that was eventually dropped and kicked around like a piece of trash. And maybe some soldier picked it up to take home as a war trophy. Let me ask you what you're going to be, young people. See, Brother Chad, those vessels didn't have a choice. But you do. You got a choice. And I can't make it for you. All I'm doing tonight is taking one more swing at it. If you do what you do, I can't. Listen, I'm not going to chase a vessel into the world. As a vessel, I won't chase a vessel into the world. I'm instructed to keep myself unspotted from the world. Why should I go to the devil's party? Why should I go to the devil's party? I shouldn't. I don't want you to get me wrong. Brother Chad, do you mean you're giving up on people? I would hope you would know me better. I got a picture in my Bible right here. I pray for every day. I haven't given up on him. Every day I pray for him, several times a day. I don't give up. But there's vessels that the devil's using, the devil's filling. Brother Chad, what's your application tonight? Okay. For a parent, maybe it's time to pray extra for some of these young people. But some of you don't understand it, but within the next 3 months,
Decisions will be made. Well, Brother Chad, that doesn't apply to my kids right now. It will. In the next 3 months, decisions will be made that will alter the course of a life of a young person in this room. Would it be worth a little extra prayer? Would it be worth a little extra time on your knees? Senior Saints, maybe it is time to pray extra for these young people. Some of you have experienced what it's like to be in the hands of the world. Sometimes it does bring temporary fulfillment, but now that has passed, what did it profit you? I want to rededicate my life, and I want to rededicate the life of my children for the Lord's work. Remember, there are a lot of different vessels for a lot of different work. You don't have to be a pastor. You don't have to be a mission. You don't have, although I think sometimes God wants you to be that. When you grow up in a place like this, too much is given, much is required. Summer's coming. Party time in the world is coming. How many of these young people will still be sitting here in September? September. This picture, is less than a year old. How many will be sitting here in September? Young people, maybe you need to dedicate or rededicate your life to God's work. Listen, you're not made. You're made something special. And the world wants to buy you off cheap. It wants to hang you up in its trophy room, and then it wants to take you down and abuse you. Listen, Brother Chad would never try to hurt you or keep you from having what you would think seems like fun. Honestly, folks, I've really tried to live my life in such a way that I live consistent. Am I perfect? No. You know that better than I do. Well, and honestly, no. I know probably better than you do. If you got 10 things, I can give you 100 things I'm not good at or right with. I know I'm not perfect, but from my heart of hearts, I do not want to see you wreck your life in the hands of the world. Brother Chad, what happens if I do? What happens if I do? Well, some of those vessels never returned. There is no guarantee. What you can choose, the action you take. You cannot. Isn't there a physics law? To every action, there is an equal and opposite reaction. Is that what it is? Huh. Law of physics, a law, one of the laws that governs our universe. But no, you're the exception. Brother Chad, what happens if I do this? Can God still use me? Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, there's really nothing. That cup that was dropped on the floor, kicked around, bloody, wine filled, it can still be picked up. And it can still be cleaned, and it can still be used for service. But let me just ask you this. If you go to McDonald's, do you want to have to wash your cup, or would you just like a brand new cup? Well, there's nothing wrong with washing your cup. Yeah, but if I'm going to McDonald's, I want a new cup. Sorry, I ran out of cups. Here, let me find one in the trash can. Is that what God has to do? It is. That's what God has to do with Christians a lot of times. He's digging in the trash can. Now, you know, praise the Lord. I'm so thankful, God. But young people, wouldn't it be better just to keep yourself clean? It's just better. It's just better. I don't know. Brother Chad, that was kind of a different lesson from an inanimate object. Belshazzar's cup. Took one more swing at it. And I hope, young people, you think about it. Parents, what about your kids? Are they worth some extra prayer? You know, I don't know. I don't even know who's going to come. Maybe nobody comes up here tonight. And I've said what God wants me to say tonight. And I'm done. But senior saints, wouldn't it be, maybe this is the moment that they need. You don't see the spiritual warfare that's going on in here. Maybe they need to go have somebody to step up and say, all right, we're having a spiritual warfare. Let's do it. We don't fight against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world. I guarantee you within the next 3 months, there will be spiritual warfare that would scare you if you could see it. But most of you don't believe me. Please, just for a little bit, just take what I'm saying. And I'm not a pastor. I'm not a preacher. I'm just trying to help some young people. I'm trying to help some older people. Hey, God can still use you. God can still fill you. But let's be vessels. If you're dedicated to the Lord's work, let's not let the devil take us to his trophy room. Let's not be that vessel in Belshazzar's hand. Let's be the vessel that stayed in Jerusalem. Let's pray. Father, I hope I said everything you wanted me to say tonight. Nothing more, nothing less. Lord, I don't know. I wish I could make choices sometimes. Lord, I didn't make all the right choices. And I know that. And it's cost me some things in life. But Lord, I want to be a vessel. Even if from now on, I want to be a vessel that you can use, that's clean, that's meat for the master's use. Lord, help these young people, Lord. And I know I kind of talk to young people, but it's applicable to everybody. Lord, help us be a vessel that you can pick up at a moment's notice and use it for whatever you need to be use us for. Lord, there's some young people here today that they have been brought up dedicated for your work. They have been brought up dedicated to be a light to this world. Help us not to bring shame to your name. Lord, I pray for the adults here and myself included. I pray that I would be more earnest in praying for the young people and for others that are at a crucial time in their life. God, I thank you for all that you do for us. Thank you for this opportunity to give us to come to your house. We'll praise you for everything that you do. In Jesus' name, amen.